Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. One of the most central concepts or notions in Gabriel Marcel's concrete approaches to investigating the ontological mystery is, of course, that last term, mystery. What does he mean by mystery? Why is he bringing that up in here? Doesn't that have too much of a religious connotation? Towards the end of his essay, he actually considers that particular objection that might be made. If you're not talking about mysteries of, say, the Christian faith, then why are you using this term which could be easily confused with that? On the other hand, why are you using this word mystery when it might be something like a mystery that Sherlock Holmes solves or that Scooby-Doo solves? Marcel doesn't actually consider that, because those sorts of things would be what he calls problems, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But it's worth actually looking at what he says in the end about this possible confusion with a Christian sense of mystery as well. He says, "Will some say the use of the word mystery risks creating an equivocation and fostering a confusion I refuse?" And he says, "I answer, there is no question of confusing those mysteries enveloped in human experience as such." So here's where he's going to tell us what some of these mysteries actually are. Knowledge, love, for example, and revealed mysteries, so there won't be any confusion between the things that are part of our existential condition, you might say, and then revealed mysteries such as the incarnation and the redemption. He says, "No effort of reason alone reflecting on experience can enable us to attain to these latter mysteries. But reason alone, or there really is no such thing as reason alone, but the reason of the concrete existing human being within the situations that they inhabit can reflect upon mysteries such as that of loving another person, falling in love, falling out of love, the mystery of evil," which he says is not actually the problem of evil, but rather a mystery. "The mystery of the connection between the body and the soul, or the mind, or whatever it is, the spirit, whatever is non-reducible simply to the body. The mystery of presence, of participation, even a mystery of what constitutes knowledge," for Marcel. So all of these are things that we can reflect upon, and they have their proper province within philosophy, particularly existential philosophy. That's not to say that they can't be dealt with in many other ways. Marcel himself was a playwright and approached things that he considers to be mysteries through his dramatic situations, as we'll talk about. Now, a mystery is something for Marcel that is distinct from, but could fade into and degenerate back into what he calls a problem. And he thinks that much of our current culture and the world that we live in and the people that we are is concerned primarily with problems, things that can be solved, things that are matters of desire and fear, things that we can formulate for ourselves, separate out, and treat one by one, or if we like, if we're being ambitious, treat in multiple ways through what he calls techniques. Things that could be the same for you as they could be for me. Again, you know, I've used the example previously of YouTube tutorials. Those are things that solve problems. They don't really raise mysteries unless we start thinking about, well, what is the nature of my learning from another human being whose image I'm seeing and yet maybe dead, or is located halfway around the world? Or, to take another example, my YouTube avatar, if you look at the total number of minutes viewed, has, at this point, lived more than twice as long as I have out there in the ether. What is that? That's not a problem. That's more like what Marcel is calling a mystery. So let's see what he actually has to say, what he has to tell us about these very important moral and metaphysical inquiries, situations, ways in which we're rooted in being. He tells us that problems only go so far, and we can get past them through an inquiry that is situated beyond the problematical, that goes beyond it. It doesn't mean that there's somehow two realms that are entirely separate from each other, like some sort of, you know, material realm that we live in and then some ideal realm or anything like that. No, they interpenetrate each other. But it is possible to go beyond the problematical. So he tells us that it is meta-problematical. That is the word that he uses. And we should talk about what this meta actually means. Here's an example of this. He says, I'm inclined towards the affirmation or the recognition of a participation that has the reality of a subject. This participation cannot, by definition, be the object of thought. It could not function as a solution, but is rather situated beyond the world of problems. It is meta-problematical. It goes beyond. The meta is much like the meta of metaphysics. This comes originally from Aristotle, and the books that we call the metaphysics are metataphysica. They are beyond the realm of the nature or things that grow or the physical, and they have to do with being as such. Something that undergirds, underlies, and yet penetrates up into the merely physical, right? That's the way a meta-problematical thing becomes a mystery. It's not meta in the way that other people might talk about it. For example, when we think about meta-language, right? When we say we're doing a meta-linguistic thing, we're using language about language. And generally, when we're doing philosophy of language or linguistics, the meta-linguistic is understood as sort of, you know, referential above the other language. It governs it. It tells it what to do. We can understand this sort of algorithmically. That's understanding it in a problematical way still. So, meta-problematical. He tells us a couple different formulations of mystery, all of which are a little bit metaphorical, but can give us a good sense of it. A mystery, he says, is a problem that encroaches on its own data. What does that mean? That means that there's a certain self-referentiality, and you might even say a certain subjectivity there. How does that happen? Well, problems exist for us, but they can be separated out from us. Mysteries include us. They involve us. They entangle us. And sooner or later, we're the one sort of providing the driving engine. The problem can actually be applied to itself. You see Plato dealing with things like this and asking questions rather innocuously, like, well, is justice itself just? That's not a problem. That's more of what Marcel is calling a mystery, a problem that encroaches on its own data. He also tells us that, this is a little bit later, a mystery involves reflection, reflecting on reflection, or what Marcel likes to call second reflection. When we're engaged in the world of problems, we are doing reflection. We are thinking about things. Se réfléchir in French means to think about, to ponder, to consider, right? And so I might consider a technical problem like, how do I make this book look as if I haven't been setting it down in the way that it is? Or where should I put the bookmarks in this book, right? Or how do I tie this tie? I can think about those things. I can also think about, is this a proper time for me to be wearing a tie? What do I want to convey to you, the viewer? That might be something that's a problem as well. But it might start to extend into the realm of mystery. Why should I be wearing a tie? What is it connoting? Is it because I'm wearing, as some people have called it, part of the uniform of the bourgeoisie? No. Is it just because I love wearing ties? No. It's because I want to convey a certain sort of seriousness or taking something as being important. I've done this with my students since I began teaching. And I was not a person who wore ties much before that. Nor am I a person who wears ties much outside of this context or in business. And now notice, I'm involved in this question. It's not purely subjective, though. You're understanding it. You're hearing it. There's a connection possible for you. It can turn just into a problem for you. How do I understand Dr. Sadler? Or let me get him past his tie predicament or something like that. But it also offers the possibility for some sort of dialogue, some sort of genuine communication, some sort of sharing, some sort of participation over, you know, rather trivial example that can mean much, much more. We're involved, whether we realize it or not, in opportunities to explore mysteries all of the time, at sometimes more than others, at weddings, at funerals, at births, at getting an award, losing an award, consoling a friend who has had a terrible breakup, applying for a job. All of these things are within the realm of the problematical at first, but then can be part of the mystery, right? And that involves reflection on reflection. Thinking about what you're thinking and how other people think about it, and then thinking about that some more. It doesn't mean to lose yourself entirely in abstraction. In a way, this provides a possibility for things to be even more concrete. He also tells us another formulation that a mystery is a problem, this is a wonderful phrase, that trespasses on its own givenness or data. And I like that term trespasses because it implies a certain sense of going beyond what the rules are allowing. But the rules don't matter so much here. So what then is this beyond? What is the mysterious? Marcel thinks that it's inevitably going to be personal. It involves us within the problem as those for whom the problem exists. We become conscious of ourselves, not just as problem solvers, but as those who in some way contribute to how the problem is formulated, or how the problem is being looked at, or whether we even need to go beyond it and view it no longer just as a problem, but perhaps as an opportunity, as a dialogue, as an exchange, as a mystery. He also thinks that mysteries are dramatic. They're not purely personal in the sense of being intensely involving one subject for whom they carry this terrible burden by themselves. No, most of these arise within a life that we share together. Not necessarily a life that we understand entirely, either on our own or with each other. We don't always have the same viewpoints on it, the same perspectives. But we are within dramatic situations, as you might say, characters are in a play. Marcel was a great playwright, so he understood that. It also involves us with something beyond ourselves, and it may be something greater than ourselves. Quite often, the key to understanding something fully as a mystery is a sense of humility about our own part and how much we matter in relation to something greater. He tells us that we are involved in how we grasp this. And there's a lot of scope for how personal development or choices or the habits that we develop would play a role in this. And he discusses that at different points in this. For example, do we feel hope or despair? That's not a simple choice that we turn on or off. But it does involve our being and our choices and our relations to other things out there. And despairing may make it impossible for us to grasp certain mysteries that hope could open up to us. He goes on and he tells us that mysteries are, as he says, real. There's a really great discussion here. He says, the metaproblematical, some people might say, is just a content of thought. Why not inquire about its mode of existence as such? What assures us of its existence? How do we know that any of this stuff really exists? Is this not itself problematical to the highest degree? And he says, my response to this is as categorical as can be. To think the metaproblematic is to affirm it as indubitably real. To think it is to affirm it. There is no thinking it and denying it at the same time. And to affirm it as being indubitably real. That is, it cannot be doubted. This is sort of like the Cartesian cogito. He tells us something I cannot doubt without contradiction, something that to doubt doesn't really make sense. And he says, we are in a zone where it's impossible to dissociate the idea itself from the degree of certitude that it carries. This idea is certitude. It is its own assurance, and to that extent is something other and more than an idea. Now, this is not to say that mysteries suddenly become transparent and they present themselves with perfect certainty to us, like, for example, the mystery of evil. But we know that the mystery exists. We know that we're dealing with something that matters, that is real, that isn't just in our heads or in social discourse or a figment of some person's imagination that's been transferred to us in some way. We're dealing with something that has reality, you could say in itself, if that wasn't a little bit misleading, in itself in such a way as it can reach to us and we can proceed into it, might be another way of saying it. Now, there is one more thing to discuss in clarifying this notion of mystery, and that is a temptation. Marcel says that there is not a clear dividing line with mystery on one side and problem on the other, and we can just say, oh, leave those problems behind, come over here to the mysteries, this is where the real action is, or anything like that. That would be nonsense, in part because we do, in fact, have a world of legitimate problems that we do have to address. Not everything has to be a mystery. But if there are mysteries, then we want to be able to acknowledge them as such. And it's a struggle sometimes to be able to do so, especially for people who are used to thinking of everything in terms of problems to be solved for whatever reason, however they manage to get into that situation. Even for those of us who are willing to say, yes, there are mysteries, there's still a temptation to reduce mysteries to problems. Why? Because problems are more tractable. They're more manageable. They are solvable. We might be able to come up with some sort of technique for addressing them. And so there's a constant temptation that we have to struggle against to reduce mysteries or degenerate mysteries to problems. He tells us that one thing that we can see is that a mystery placed before reflection, he says, tends inevitably to degrade itself into a problem. And he gives us an example of that, the mystery which we easily see degenerate itself into the problem of evil, something to be solved by philosophers through arguments. Another thing that he does tell us as well is that the mystery of being, in some respect, lies beyond knowledge. He says that to admit the metaproblematical is to acknowledge the primacy of being over knowledge, not of being as affirmed, but rather of being affirming itself. It is to recognize that knowledge is enveloped by being, that it is in some manner interior to being. He says, from this point of view, as opposed to what epistemology, the study of knowledge, strives vainly to establish, there really is a mystery of knowledge. Knowledge derives from a mode of participation no theory of knowledge can account for, because the theory itself presupposes this participation. It's a very common mistake in not only modern philosophy, but in many other fields, to begin from a demand that epistemology be addressed before everything else. And that's a demand that everything be treatable in terms of some sort of neat, tidy, theoretical presentation or some sort of technique. And what that ignores is the fact that even bringing up knowledge itself is already a mystery. It's a mystery within being, not the reverse, where knowledge would reveal to us all the conditions of being. So hopefully this gives you some sense of what Marcel means in speaking about a mystery and how it differs from a problem. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.